Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, Red Army, this is another one of those Casual Reds show. I'm your guy, the guy, Casey, a.k.a. Face Them Cuffs. Yeah, it's on. Yeah, I'm talking into it perfectly. Like I said, this is Those Casual Reds Show. This is Case, representing ACJ and LA Red Army. We're brought to you by Belorian, Mnookin, and Shaq Gideon, one of the finest law firms in Southern California. You can call them at 747-444-4444. Get their free consultation. 98% success rate. Full staff of paralegals ready to go. They get you in there. And, let you know what they can do for you. So let's get into it. Cheese, get in here. Sam, bringing all the guys.
Yep, Mandem, roll up, enter.
It's a big show. It's a big panel. Lots of Reds here. I want to hear a lot of opinions. We're going through a transition. As everybody know, Eric Ten Hag's out. And possibly we'll have in Ruben Amin. Amarin. But first of all, I wanted to get everybody's opinions on Eric Ten Hag. I want you to get your final thoughts. Well, first of all, let me introduce everybody. It's going to be a quick introduction. Sean, how are you doing?
Good, good, good.
Out of Pittsburgh. Ronaldo, how you doing out of the South? How you doing?
Good.
Bandito, Mike, good. Representing the city of Southern Cal. How you doing?
I'm good.
Mikey, everybody's favorite Red. How you doing?
You.
Logan, how you doing?
Yo, how's it going?
My guy Germs, how you doing?
Yo, how's it going? What's up?
It's a tough night for everybody. We all here are Dodger fans, and we're going to be keeping our moods tempered. I know there's a lot of Dodger fans in here, so I don't want anybody cheating, looking at the score, cheering, and none of that sort of the business. But first of all, let's deal with the matters at hand. Eric Ten Hag has been removed as the boss of the Manchester United Football Club. Some people say it's long overdue. Some people were, I don't know, thought that it, what do you think, Jesus, it happened too soon? Give me your opinion.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not too soon. Like, I think a bunch of us were willing to ride it out till December, but just based on results, performance, reaction of the players are like, yo, we're over this, so not soon enough. Like, you could have did it international break. I think you guys talked about it on the show last night, but like international break, and definitely after the Tottenham game, for me personally, I was like, I was done after Spurs. I was like, nah.
Any of you guys felt that maybe the international break was time? Bandito, Mike, how did you feel about when you heard the news that our guy was finally out?
Okay, so two questions there.
Yeah, I know.
I was thinking about the international break coming up in late November as, you know, a marker of, you know, how were we going to improve? Did it look likely that we were going to improve throughout the season? But that decision came much quicker. So the timing, yeah. I mean, we're 14th. The results speak for themselves. And you look at, were we going to get better? Were we going to improve? Were we going to go on a run of, you know, 5-7 games winning streak, you know, on the bounce? Not very likely. So, yeah, they pulled the trigger. He's been relieved of managerial duties. So, yeah, a little sooner than I thought, but I can't argue with it.
Ronaldo, with that hideous Jersey on. What did you hear the news about our guy Erik ten Hag being moved on? How did you think? What was your thoughts?
Well, I was in the airport coming from Barbados, took a mini vacay. So I was feeling good, and then I saw it. I was like, "Oh, I got shit to read in the airport." it was kind of numb because I felt it was coming. Like she said, after Tottenham, it felt dead, didn't it? That was a hiding. Besides the Liverpool game, that Tottenham game was really embarrassing. We had, you know, a little games where we looked good, the Crystal Palace game we looked good, but we didn't get anything out of it. It just felt, once again, you know, Bruno looks like absolute shit this season, and it just everywhere else down. Nobody's getting better, so had to be done. And quite frankly, Ten Hag is not Ineos' guy, and the summer started off just like that, so he should have kind of seen it coming, especially with this bad start. And I saw something comparing the numbers. The last time we got relegated in 74, same wins, same losses, and same draws that we have right now. I don't think we would get relegated, but that's some damning numbers.
Sam, I did not know that.
I feel bad for him, but you know, some of it is his doing, and you know, players need to look in the mirror. They know they stunk up the joint again.
That's a really good point.
Millwall away. I'm here for it.
Did it again?
Millwall away.
Yeah, I'm there for it.
Yeah, I'm definitely if we do Millwall away.
Good luck to all of you that go to that game.
That'll be a bucket list checked off for sure. I don't know how, but I would be selling something out of my body to get there. Logan.
I'm wearing my United jersey at that game. Not a chance in hell.
I know how you feel. I've been with you at the pub, Logan. I've seen the mood. But can you express that final feeling when you knew Erik ten Hag left? Were you delighted, or were you just like, this is time?
I mean, I wrote today, said first off, that FA Cup win and run last year was phenomenal. Great feelings. Great all around. But I think it's summed up. Last game, you and I, whenever Glow got past the keeper, and neither you or I even, like, got excited. And I think that's just kind of where we're at point. So I think it's time to move.
Jerm, finally you.
Well, I woke up to that news, and I wasn't surprised. It was a good way to wake up, right, to seeing Erik ten Hag being sacked. It was long overdue. Thank you for those two cups, but it's just about time to move on, time to get this club back to those glory times, and way to go with this move.
Now, when I'm getting this group's temperature, it sounds like everybody would have been okay with the international break where Erik ten Hag would have been relieved of his duties. Am I safe to say that? Or did you – I mean, I some of us were really saying, let's wait till December, January time, but – I think some of us were like, international break would have been the opportune time. Anybody want to jump in on that?
So I got a conspiracy theory.
Oh, wow.
I think we leaked that Sir Alex thing, and then we flew on over to talk to Amber M, and no one knew we did it during that international break. That's my
I wouldn't put that past Man United to do that, to be honest.
Because I remember how pissed and how much news we got from Sir Alex, and then... Man, talks moved so quick the past day with Amrim. Like, there's no way we haven't talked to him and planned this out.
No,
there's no way.
This guy is a guy that wants to see a project through and through. And the fact that he is leaving mid-season to go to Man United is a shock within itself. To be able to get him out of Sporting like that, but. Yeah, I agree with Logan. Like, this has been going on for a while. I think something happened in the international break where they weren't quite ready to pull the trigger on him being fired. Because one of the they didn't have at least one of those three managers saying yes.
Does anybody think it had anything to do with maybe possible Tuchel getting off the board? And they probably were like, we got to go to the next guy. And they didn't know exactly who the next guy was. So maybe they weren't ready. And that's why probably it took a little bit longer than we thought. I mean, when I mean taking longer than thought, international break, I thought it would have been the opportune time. But then, you know, we were talking about maybe they're going to have to tool. So next you know, he's like, he's got a new job.
Hell, so that happened fast, too.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were coming up to me today saying, oh, we're so shocked how quick you did it. But, you know, this wasn't done quick. This had to have been at least 2-3 weeks into working. I mean, there had to be some communication, you know?
Yeah, we're getting on Ineos the last couple games and saying we on Ineos watch now. And now it's like we kind of backed off of that. It was like, oh, they're moving again. All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think one of our oracles put it out there like that. This is Ineos watch. And I think Ineos might have been watching the show. They're like, damn, my name is on us right now. So it's like once the Ineos watch dropped, they were like, Omar was like, I got to get everybody together.
Remember a couple of weeks ago, I was yelling about Ten Hag needs to be on the sideline. And then the next game, he's on the sideline yelling. So,
yeah, Ten Hag has been a little bit more. The last two games, he's been a little bit more active, but it's just not. It hasn't worked. We still look a mess. Things don't look right. His substitutions is crazy.
Rotation policy, baby. Rotation policy.
I'm gonna say the team let him down too. It was like the last couple of games have not just been on him. Like the last game wasn't on him against West Ham. That was the team that let him down.
But doesn't anybody think that's his fault too? You rode and died with some guys. You didn't let some guys get punished for their bad play. You kept going. You kept going. Because first of all, Bruno shouldn't.
But a bin bench.
Bruno, you said it. You said Ronaldo. Bruno has been looked terrible. He's looked absolutely terrible. I mean, some say this first half of this game he played good. I didn't think. I've heard some of y'all thought we played good in the first half this last against West Ham. I did not think so at all.
We were creating chances in the first half.
We did play well in the first half.
Yeah.
It
could have been four if we finished.
Could have been for the longest.
That's why the man's out of a job.
Okay.
You know, Bruno should have had three assists in that first half.
Yep.
Yeah, but we know plenty of games where Garnacho could have had two assists. Rashford could have had two assists. This has been our story. So it's been the same story.
Again, that goes back to the players not finishing. It's not like as much as Ten Hag can put like not put Ugarte in, but at the end of the day, Ugarte not you know being in is not going to help the team score, and the team let him down in the last couple of games. Overall, I agree he needed to go, but at the end of the day, the team let him down.
Well. We got a potential new guy coming in. We might as well everybody say goodbye to Ten Hag. Wish I heard you'd made a montage or something for him today, Mikey.
He shared one.
Go ahead, Bandit. I see you saying.
Before we move on, I mean, obviously it wasn't one game that got him sacked, right? It was a number of things, but
collage.
Just to reflect back on his time here, someone said before, like there was a bit of excitement when he came in. He was just. You know, the latest and greatest kind of had success and played youth. His first season, he really overachieved with the squad he had. And we looked at him like, okay, he's getting the best out of some of his players. He's getting the best out of Rashford. He's bringing on youth and Garnacho. He's, you know, Bruno wasn't good, you know, had a very good season. He's getting the best out of these players. Got us into the Champions League. Second season, not great. And you could almost excuse it for the amount of injuries and, you know, the cohesion and the number of controversies that he had to deal with. And I thought that he dealt with those okay, you know, Ronaldo and Sancho and Anthony and those types of things. But in the end, you know, the results weren't great. We thought, okay, third season, this is when you really judge a manager. He's got a lot of his players in, and the season just didn't start out good. And again, you know, it's like, what is our style of play? Lose the ball and then be wide open and then concede a goal. That was like our style of play. So, yeah, it didn't seem like it was getting better. The players that were really kicking on before were all struggling. Our top player, probably Bruno, is you know, the one player you would say could walk into almost any team in the Premier League. And he's been having a not very good season. So having said that, he managed the probably for me the best win post Sir Alex Ferguson, right? A single game win in that FA Cup against City. He outcoached him. The players outfought, and really put it on City when we were like a 11-1 underdog. So yeah, a three-handled trophy and your favorite cup, Casey, the FA Cup. And we thank him for his service. Best of luck to him. All the Georgie best. And we're ready to move on.
I'm glad you said those things because you brought me back to why my mood is tempered right now, because I really thought this was going to be the guy.
After that first season, yeah.
Yeah, I really was really backing him. I think the majority of our fan base was backing him because I just want to salute the Red Army. I think we showed a lot of
patience. Perseverance.
I think some people were even riding with him up to 2 weeks ago. And then, you know, you were saying things, well, you know, maybe he'll get it together. You know, we all thought this was I thought this was the best gaffer we had since Fergie. I don't know, maybe Jose, but I thought really this was going to be the guy. I don't know how any of you guys felt going into the Ten Hag era, but that's how I felt. Anybody thought he could have been the guy to change us?
Yeah, so I definitely picked Ten Hag for the job in my head before he got it, right? But this is what I, for the future, first off, thank you, Ten Hag. I was one of your most vocal critics towards the end. I hung on with you for a long time. I made a lot of excuses for you. You didn't cut the cheese.
You did.
It's all good. Thank you. But at the same time, with this, all this memories FC that we're doing here and sentimental FC that we're doing right now, okay, don't do that with this guy. Don't do that. And going forward, if I could speak to the fan base for a second, let's not do that with this guy. Let's judge him on a case-by-case basis. And I don't mean game-by-game, but let's see what the progression is. And let's stop holding out hope and falling in love with this manager, because that's what a lot of us did. I'm guilty of it, too. Like, we wanted to defend Ten Hag in the face of not seeing a play style for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's like, if Emerim doesn't work out, he needs to go, too. Just as – probably even quicker. And I used to say this, like, yo, we're not Chelsea, man. We're not Chelsea. We can't do X, Y, and Z. But guess what? The game has changed now. And we're in a results-based business. So guys got to figure it out quickly and show us a play style, show us some fight, show us what they're trying to do a lot sooner than we
did. He's watching the game.
How do you guys feel about that? We should have a quick hook if we don't see things working. Anybody think? I mean, what's a quick hook?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
A year,
define
2 year, six games?
For me, I don't care where we finish this year as long as I start seeing a style of play. The rest of this season,
I don't care where we finish this year.
As long as I can see a consistent style of play and progression in the play. If he can go like this season, finish fifth, sixth, I'm fine with that. As long as I see him have a style of play and you can see Man United progressing. That is all I want from this manager right now.
That's the only way we're going to get to fifth or sixth if we see something like that. So
yeah, that's what I mean. Like fifth, sixth, I'm fine with that as long as I can see a progression within the team and a style of play. Because we can't like, expect him to come in this year and like go, oh, he's going to finish fourth in this year. We're at Christmas already. There's just too much to ask in his this year. So as long as that style of play and progression, that's all I care about this year for Mamre. Next year, then we kick on.
So we could put our peas in the pod.
Mm-hmm.
The Europa League, right? Try to win that one.
Yeah,
I want to see. I want to see somebody be ruthless, and I'm talking about thinking offensively, right? Like I want to see you up two, go get the third. Yeah. Up three, go get the fourth. Don't get defensive. The only reason you need to be getting defensive at this rate is to preserve guys for other games.
He doesn't That's do that it. Though.
I need the killer instinct. I need all of it. I need it now. And, like, I can't wait because we're supposed to be winning the title 3 years from now. I can't wait for to figure it out. Guess, oh, this guy doesn't. We can't. We don't have that kind of time. I'm on Chelsea time now.
Hold on.
Get him in. Get him in. Get him out.
Since we're talking about him already, Jeremy, who are we talking about right now? Who is this person we're talking about? Introduce him to the Red Army.
Ruben Aborim, right? We're talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about him is that one thing that he was known for, this is supposedly what we saw on reports, that one of the reasons Liverpool didn't want him is because he's stubborn. He wants to have a back three. So the thing is, are we going to start seeing a back three in Manchester United? And who are the back three that we're going to see? Because what we've seen about Ruben, well, like the videos that I've been watching, is that he likes to really have width with his center backs and also his wing backs. So we need to have center backs that are defensive-minded, fast center backs, and also that can possess the ball. Do we have all those center backs?
Negative.
I can say Lisandro Martinez, Yoro, right? Even De Ligt. Maybe some other guys on the bench we're going to have to get rid of, but we're going to have to do with this season and just go from there. So that is the exciting part. Also, another thing is just, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Something that is great about him is that he likes to create diamonds all over the pitch, something that we were always clamoring about, right? Having a pattern of play, possession-based football. So, I mean, all looks good, but we can all say this right now. We just got to see it out on the pitch, though, with these players, though.
Did anyone see Sporting stats this year? 30 goals, 2 conceded.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Conceded all season. That is insane.
That's insane, bro.
I know it's the Portuguese league, but they're still kicking ass in the Champions League, too. I think they're like 7th, 8th in the Champions League.
He has 2 wins and 1 draw or 1 loss. I'm not sure in the Champions League.
There's also Benfica and Porto, teams with more money in that league.
Does anybody know what he does with his midfield? How does he play?
Two tens.
Plays
so
two tens.
What he'll do is he'll have the wing backs on each side, and then he'll play Ugarte and Mainu next to each other, and then in front of him he'll play something like Rashford, Bruno, and then above him he'll play Rasmus.
So that way Bruno won't have to get wide. Because you know, Bruno,
he should have players Ronaldo, in the wide
not Ronaldo. If you looked at Rashford when he scored all those goals a couple of years ago, he had Luke Shaw going on the outside, and he was able to move on the inside. So that's what he's going to want to create. But he's going to have to figure out who he wants to play in those 2-10 positions.
Bandito,
that's a tough one.
His attacking, how does he like to? Are we narrow attacking? Or are we
with?
So. I don't know too much, but from what I gather, he likes to create numerical overloads in phases. So it's all about not starting in a position, but arriving into a position at the correct time. So positionally, yeah, he wants to use the 3 at the back to overload, and then the keeper to play a 4-on-3 against your press. And then... like you guys are saying, that, you know, it's a box midfield. So in the middle third, you're overloading. You got 4-on-3 against their midfield. And then as you move the ball, you move your wing backs up. And then you're building overloads, you know, on the channel. So that's typically what I've seen. So he's placed from a 3-4-3, a 4-2-1 with the, you know, double tens, you can say.
A double pivot.
Yeah, and then a solid double pivot, like 2 mm-hmm. sixes, protecting the center back. And I think a lot is going to be asked of Lenny Euro and Lisandro Martinez to have to defend wide spaces 1v1. Martinez not great at it, but he's sufficient, and I think Lenny Euro is fantastic at it. So it'll be interesting. You guys have already said it. Like, you know, what is the personnel going to be? How does the personnel plug into this? So there's loads of ideas out there. I'd like to hear what you guys think about what would be our you know, best 11.
So one of the things I just want to jump in. I was watching a video earlier. So under Ten Hag, when the ball goes out wide, Ten Hag's having one of the defensive midfielders to go out and attack that. Well, he doesn't do that. That's why he plays with the wing backs and the out wide defender. He'll have the defenders and the wing backs go and attack that and leave the two center midfielders, the double pivot in midfield. So that will stop that big, huge gap that we've had in our midfield.
Yeah. That midfield gap shit was crazy.
He'll fix that.
Logan, let me start with you. Do you have a problem? If we sign this gentleman, he'll be 39. He'll be the youngest Premier League boss of all time, ever. Does anybody have a problem with it? Logan, do you have a problem with that?
No, not at all. I'm just concerned because same thing as always. It's different league coming to the Premier League. Mm-hmm. You know how that works. So we'll see how it goes for him.
Fact check, isn't Brighton's coach younger?
Yeah, Brighton manager's 8 years younger than
him. Is he 8?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, forgive me.
Because when he beat Ten Hag, they're like, he's the youngest manager in the Prem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
31?
Yeah. And our guy, Amerman, is 39.
Almost my son.
Yeah. Come on, you're the host, man.
Fact check, brother.
That's another damn fact.
Why would you even spit that out there?
I don't give a shit. Y'all, what do you think I'm a loose sack?
He's like, that's what I keep y'all around
for.
That's
what y'all here for. Golly. Oh, wow.
That's your job.
That's another fact against Ten Hag, too, right? This 31-year-old just came in with Brighton.
Yep.
I didn't even realize that.
And he got them clicking and clacking.
Yep.
I didn't even realize that. I think I've just been so.
I don't think it doesn't matter. At this point, if you're young and you're hungry and you connect with these players, you get results out there. That's it.
I love young coaches. I mean,
this guy played against Johnny Evans.
He played against Eriksen.
A Spurs Eriksen.
That's wild.
Yeah,
but I think it's good.
I was going to say, has anyone seen how he coaches? Also, like he has a game plan for each individual player.
Yeah.
So he'll work on the fitness for each individual player. He'll work on like what that player needs to do rather than just as a whole, as a group. Like he'll bring players to one side and have a training session just with coaches, just with that one player, rather than just coaching as a whole all the time. So a very, very good man manager too.
That's going to benefit the youth because that's one of the things that he's praised about, developing young players, developing youth.
Yeah,
and we need that with all the young players that we have. That what have we been clamoring about? These young guys are not getting better. They're not getting better. We see the raw potential and the attributes they have, but we don't see them progressing. One thing I'm interested in seeing, because he's Portuguese, is he going to be able to just be that guy to tell Bruno, you know what, you're playing your crap. You're sitting on the bench. I can't afford to have you up there in the pitch.
I think he will.
But I think right now when he comes in, we're still Manu's out. Euro's not out, or Euro's out. You know, we still got injuries going.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our injuries are back line, which a lot of his tactics, that's where it starts from. It's those center backs.
Yeah, and then, like, the wing back situation, right? Who's going to commit to playing wing back? Like, who's going to commit to doing that when I don't know. I haven't heard anything on the Maz. I don't know where he is with his knee. And Luke Shaw is not gonna, you know, he's a left back. Can he play the position even or whatnot? It's like,
I think Beto ask
wingers to commit defensively because we're gonna need some help on that side of the pitch coming back.
He actually likes playing wingers more than he does defenders at the wing back.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about changing the philosophy that these guys have.
I will say this. This is a great opportunity. If Anthony was any good at going forward, this would be a great opportunity for Anthony. Because I'm gonna give him credit. He gets back in defense. He's just shit going forward. Like, you can't take it away from me. He does get back and defend on that wing. Like, if he was any good at going forward, he'd be a great wing back for Man United.
Anybody concerned about, like, a Garnacho? How does he fit in?
You hear man, Rashford.
I think
they're about to be better players.
Playing alongside a striker, right? And just that their wing backs and the our two eights, you know, Manu and Ugarte, both firm in the middle and let those three guys cook up top. I think that's how it's going to go.
I think you might see Bruno starting alongside Ugarte while Manu's out.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea either.
A little deeper. Because the tech is, yeah. I was watching, that he does like one of those center mids to really push forward and get into the space and have his wing or the like left or right wing kind of go forward more.
I heard something that a player like Ahmad should flourish with his system.
I think Ahmad and Garnacho.
Someone next to the striker.
I feel like Ahmad and Garnacho should flourish. And he might be able to get the best out of Delo.
Right? There's going to be a lot of help on that wing area between them and the striker, right? There's going to be a lot of, like, I think you could expose that space right there. I think that space is to be had if if he decides to. Listen, he could come here and pull a Erik ten Hag and say, I'm not playing the damn Sporting way. I came here to do
this. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that part.
You know, I want to be – I'm happy to get ten Hag out here, but I want to be happy for this dude. I am happy. But at the same time, that shirt, that clipboard, that – position or whatever the cable have you is a heavy one, man.
It is
and
heavy.
It often makes guys do things they all otherwise wouldn't do. And we have to put in perspective, because you guys like to do this all the time with France and all these other leagues. This was in Portugal. This, you only conceded 2 goals in Portugal, brother. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, but he's also kicking ass in the Champions League too.
All right, let me finish what I'm saying. I was quiet for 16 minutes. So,
16 minutes.
This is Portugal. You guys do this all the time. Like, I'm tempering my expectation till I see what's going on. But I like what's going on with him coming in. I like what I'm hearing. I just hope that this job title does not alter, or the pressure doesn't alter what he wants to do.
Bandito.
Yeah, you guys, we're talking about someone who's tactically adept and can change and chop and change as they need. But we also need a boss who's going to have the personality to man manage. And like Mikey's saying, the heavy is the hand that carries the clipboard. This is the massive job. You need the personality for that. This job is bigger than one man. So we can't just, there's no Alex Ferguson. You know, there's only one, and there's not another one coming in. So it's got to be the structure of Ineos. And, you know, they're going to make mistakes. It's a learning curve for them as well. So it's a team thing to get this right and get this turned around. So, there's going to be, you know, dips and questionable tactics and questionable decisions. That's just part of the job. I'm kind of like Mikey. I'm hopeful. I'm not giddy with it. I'm not, you know, but I am, you know, hopeful with it. And you know, there's not a lot we can do really with this remaining season in my mind. But Ronaldo, what do you think? What's your expectations for the rest of the season?
I definitely want to make a deep run all the way into Europa. The good teams in there. I think that's something we should give a shot. As Sean alluded to, if we affirm a style of play, you know, by January or so, and, you know, give the guy some time.
There's a good chance we could be at a Caribou tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that shit.
Okay, so that's one that.
Have you never heard of
it? I hope we go out of it. I hope we go out of it. It's one less game.
Nah, I ain't gonna never say that much, but it's whatever with that, and kind of whatever the FA Cup. I mean, it'd be nice to win again, but Carabao, no, I'm not really concerned.
You guys never heard of the new boss bounce? That ain't happening.
Jeremy,
next round, but it ain't happening this one.
Let me throw it to Jeremy. Who do you think this new boss, and potentially who do you think this really will revive as far as what player? We've heard a lot about Bruno. We've heard about Ahmad, Rasmus. Who do you think really benefits from this?
For me, I think the young guys like Kobbie Mainoo, right? The midfield and Rasmus, just like the young guys, just teaching them where to be, what spaces to cover, and Rasmus as a striker as well. We see the hunger he has, but sometimes maybe not being in the correct space, just helping those guys out more than anything, Kobbie Mainoo and Rasmus.
Okay. Yeah, Rasmus is a channel runner, and this seems to be like this setup for a channel runner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got two wild cards for you guys.
Him and Gyökeres look very similar in their kind of styles. Yeah.
Do you know
Casemiro and Maguire are going to improve?
You know Rasmus is
which two?
Casemiro and Maguire are going to improve under this guy.
Wow. Did he say Maguire?
And then, we let him go win a contract.
Improve?
That's
five Champions League titles.
We know Casemiro had a problem with Ten Hag. We knew he had a problem with it and how we're set up and how he's getting hung out and dry because his wheels don't work no more. Now he has this guy who likes to play two in the middle, stay still, hold the ball, don't do anything stupid, let the guys cook up front. That's who's Casemiro, I think. And England and Maguire, they play three at the back, and Maguire's, you know, once he's playing a string of games, he's getting picked for England. I'm not saying they might be automatic starters, but when they're playing, they're going to be serviceable.
I know.
At this point, we can't sell them. That's all we need.
I know Sean's going to be excited because Ugarte definitely is going to be playing now.
Yeah, that's his man.
Yeah, Ugarte is going to play. There's no question Ugarte plays. And I actually think the Ugarte problem is really what ended up killing Ten Hag.
Yeah.
The fact that he just wouldn't play him. But for me, I think the two players that are going to thrive is one, Rasmus Højlund. The guy's had three shots all season. I know he's been out, but three shots all season, and he doesn't get the service. We know this guy loves to get the ball into the box. And then the second one is going to be Ahmed, because this is where Ahmed played for Sunderland. This is where he shone in the championship, in the same position in that 10.
I remember we had a game with...
It might be a lack of favoritism because he's just coming in. Who's going to be his favorite?
Be like, right now, you got it.
Bruno. He said Bruno. He did play for Sporting this some years ago, right?
Besides Bruno Dillo, I don't see any favorites. I think if Rashford's in the drain, it might be Garnacho starting over him, man. You know,
Is anyone here think he's already been on the phone to Ugarte saying, "What the fuck? What am I getting myself into?"
No.
What did I do?
No. If anything, he's been on the phone being like, "Yo, I got you. Don't even worry about it. We're gonna turn this around."
Yeah, I like that he wants the job.
I do.
I mean, it takes a lot that he's walking away from a team that hasn't lost in the league.
Firing.
He could be a two-time champion.
I seen a video of a guy crying in the street.
Yeah, that older dude.
He's crying in the street. He asked him about the manager, and he's like, "Thank you so much. I can't, you know, he just couldn't believe it." And it's like, I like to see that. I like to see that. It means absolutely nothing.
So Sean, what I'm hearing from you is that you're in favor of us just putting all our chips into Europa and just writing the season off in the Premier League. Yeah, is that something?
Well,
you guys...
not necessarily putting all the chips into Europa. Like, just in the season in general. Like, I just want to see if we go out of Europa, like we go out of Europa. I don't see us. Like, have you seen our next Europa games? If we lose any of those games, we got some serious questions to ask about ourselves. Because we should not be losing any of those next four Europa games. Because we've got Rangers in January, and we already beat them in preseason. So, like, we shouldn't be losing those. But I think we'll progress in the Europa League. But for me, it's all season. I don't care whatever competition. If we go out, then we go out. As long as I can see a pattern and a progression inside of Man United that will transfer into next year when he gets his own players into, like a couple of his own players. That's all I want to see from him this year. So it's not just necessarily the Europa. It's just in general, I want to see a pattern across the board.
Yeah, our best path in the Champions League is definitely Europa.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Sean. I wrote down earlier today, I think we could take some losses and give them time as long as we see progress and see an identity when we play. Like, there's a lot of times you're the head with Ten Hag where we're like, well, what are we doing? What are we trying to get with this ball? Like, there's just so many... There's no identity by the end.
Yeah, there was none.
Get that by the end of the season, I think it'll be good.
And I know one thing that I've been talking about is this slow-ass play from the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, me, Mikey, and Casey have been saying, like, hey, maybe, you know, he was told to do that. Amran doesn't do that. He's like, get it out. He wants that ball out quickly. So hopefully Onana can go back to getting that ball out.
Martinez holds on to it quite a bit this season, I've seen.
He does, yeah, he has.
And he's got to be 1-2 touches in his new role.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to – my mood is – I'm like Mikey. Ten Hag did this. Ten Hag did this. Ten Hag had this brilliant play style that he got here. He said, I am not doing that here at Manchester United. And that bothered me. But I think that was under the Glazers. I don't know. Maybe that regime asked him to do a style that he didn't want to do, because I don't know what the fuck what he came here and told us that. I want to see about three games under this guy. Then I'll feel comfortable. I'm not comfortable. I am not at the least bit comfortable.
Three games, not 10?
Yeah, I'm not comfortable.
You just want three games?
I think in three games we should see a style of play. In three games. Okay. In style of play.
Yeah, but Liverpool turned him down because he refused to play four at the back for Liverpool.
Well, like, Liverpool is a little bit more established, though. Liverpool's a little bit more established with their veteran players. Asking them to go three.
I get that, but like, the fact that he's saying, I'm not.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, like, I think he's going to come in. I think that the board, like, you don't think that he, when he's having discussions with the board, he's like, oh, no, I'm going to play my way. They're not. If they said no in any way, he would have been like, I'm not coming. He did it to Liverpool, and Liverpool are more established. There's more chance of winning a title or a cup at Liverpool, and he still said, no, I'm playing it my way.
Yeah, we tend to think of three at the back as five at the back and being anti-football, right? Being not something that a front foot team, a big club does. So it's a bit of a paradigm shift because it's three at the back, but it's...
And rest and defense, it's five at the back. It's rest defense.
Yeah, so it's you know, in build-up possession, it's similar to what a lot of modern clubs do. 3-1 or 3-2-6. 3-1-6 or something like that. So it's not much different in sustained possession from what we've seen at a lot of modern clubs.
Tell you what, what a way to figure the fucker out, because that list in December, the games we got, is coming thick and fast, so he's got time to figure it out.
Welcome to the Prem.
Like eight games in December, so he has to figure it out real quick.
Holiday fixtures.
I'll give us some props.
We're going to see Ruud van Nistelrooy on the touchline
tomorrow.
I guess a number of games. We're not really sure. Nobody knows really how many. But what do we expect? What can he do in this short time? Is he gonna stick around for the remainder of the year? What's the long term?
Just saying that he's bringing his three guys. They got Carlos Fenanche and Elidio Candido. Those
good
are
job.
The guys from Braga. They came over from Braga, so they're supposed to be. And then his conditioning coach too, Paulo Barreira. So those are supposed to be his guys to come over with him.
That's good science.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's in charge for the Chelsea game, to be honest with you. The way this is moving quickly.
Amarim, I think that's the goal. Yeah. It'll be Ruud Wednesday tomorrow.
And then Ruud leaves the club. I don't think he's going to want Ruud on his team.
Yeah, there's
unless
no connection.
Under the under-21s, I think Ruud leaves the club.
Yeah, there's no connection with him, Ruud, in the history. I don't think he... I mean, coaches want guys that they work with.
Yeah.
I think Ruud wants to go.
Hey, sorry. The chips didn't fall your way, Ruud. I apologize, you know. But, you know, so much of it was like, yeah, he's going to bring that United DNA. Like, fun that.
That's been
it's
gone.
It's Portugal time. It's Portugal time. The Portuguese contingent is here.
That's right.
Let's go.
Orange.
We had enough of these Dutch men. Now we got to get some Portuguese in here.
Get the Portuguese.
Yeah, go down to the cantina. Get your espresso and your pastel de nala. You know, down at Carrington, because that's what it's all about.
I saw this great video earlier of, like, it was just a mock-up of Ten Hag going back and managing Ajax and celebrating that we just rinsed Man United out of all this money.
Yeah.
300 million. Exactly.
That's
I'm coming
wild.
Back to build a better team now because I got 300 million back in the bank.
You know what? That'd be good. If they could even go back there and figure it out there, that'd be great. I'd be happy for him.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't go back.
They're trying to get him in the summer. Beto just said Ruud could leave in the summer. Rumor. I don't see why he'd be around till summer.
I mean, if he leaves, isn't that what he signed up for? He knows he signed up. Ten Hag had a short leash, and I mean, chips for where they made.
This was the. I don't think anyone, you know, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but no one estimated it to be this bad this quick. you know, Ineos didn't say we're going to keep you on for another year and be. Oh, we could see you be out of here in October.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's absolutely insane. But so I kind of feel bad and rude because at least they had a year in this. Blood clot. Boy, I'm telling you guys, this ship sank so fast. It's crazy. It was like It was like midway. I don't know was if you guys understand.
Was it fast? Because like they didn't want him before the FA Cup match. They were looking for other guys. It just so happened that a lot of the guys either went to get jobs or didn't want the job. So like, was it fast? Is it that the FA Cup kind of prolonged? Is that, it was a stay of execution for him? Yeah, it was. He's a cup manager. As in retrospect, we could say now, in knockout competition, Ten Hag's going to get you beat. He's going to figure out what he's going to take, and the guys are going to match his level in a cup competition. But in the league, bro, it's not happening.
Last time I checked, we didn't win. Sorry, go ahead, Bandia.
And I heard that so many times when I was over there from the fans. It's like the players can get up for a cup and beat anybody, but to have the mental capacity to do it week in, week out, and you know, a cold night in Stoke, it just wasn't there. And that's on the boss in part. I mean, the players are culpable as well, but you know, that's on the coaching staff as well to have that week in, week out, and it just wasn't there.
It's not the manager's job to do that. You got to get yourself up as a player.
I think it partially is.
I don't know. I feel like Ten Hag's a mood killer.
A good manager knows how to get certain players in a mold.
Exactly.
Just like with, and I hate to always be like, this is what Fergie did, because that's what we all do. But, you know, it's the infamous, yo, I used to talk to Rooney like this to get a result out of this person. But, you know what I'm saying? It's that kind of psychological dark arts to the game that I feel like every manager should have a little bit. Pep has it. He has it in stride. Somebody said one time that they rather play for Pep than have sex.
Oh.
Crazy.
Pep must be doing something crazy.
That guy needs a new woman.
Pep, yeah, that person needs a gal. But anyway, it's been a good show. We had some comments here. Jeff says, that's Bubba Jeff, says, I hate these mid-season sacks. Beto says a Yankee jersey, and I just noticed that. And, yeah.
What's the score?
6-4.
You guys are not supposed to be watching the game.
I just gotta say this. New York, what the hell was that, bringing out Fat Joe? Come on. Y'all gotta do better.
Oh, my God.
He's a Bronx native, man. What are you talking about? He's a Bronx native.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You have Ice Cube in L.A., then you have Fat Joe.
Yeah, Ice Cube's from L.A.? I don't know if Rakim and KRS-One resonates today.
Who would you want to see, Jeremy? Who would you want to see?
I don't know. This is like Cardi B. Artist. It doesn't necessarily have to be from the Bronx. It's just someone from New York.
KRS-One.
New York got two teams, brother.
Jay-Z is Brooklyn.
Well, guys.
Jay-Z's on the run, baby.
Sean, Mikey, you guys want to promo your show? Sean and Mikey, you want to promo your show?
Yeah, we'll be on Thursday at 8 p.m., you know, Halloween.
Halloween.
Hopefully it isn't going to be so a freaky. Spooky show about Man United losing and going out the Carabao Cup.
So. Yeah.
Everyone's score prediction for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, quick ones. This would be funny. Do score predictions, then we'll get out of here.
3-0. 3-0, Man United.
2-0 United. Let's go.
2-0.
2-1 United.
4-2 United.
All you... Ross Klotz said that we was about to be out. Y'all picked us to win.
New manager bounce. Interim manager bounce.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to 2-0. You know, we still want to see United win. We still want to see United win. I know coming Thursday we'll have a lot. We'll probably know if he's going to be our boss or not.
For Sunday.
It's a tough time, Red Army. It's a tough time. We're going through another transition. Another coach has been bounced. There's a... Another set of players have got a player, a coach bounce. I think what's really concerning to all of us is this is a huge job for this young man. I like the fact that he's ambitious and he wants to take it, but we've been here before. I like the fact that he's done well in his other league, but we've been here before. But one thing that he has differently than all these other coaches, he has structure and he has a good boardroom that's going to back him, and I don't know how long it'll last. Mikey says we'll give him 6 games or whatever, but I don't know. I'm just saying, Mikey, I'm just joking. I'm just fucking with you. But I know what you meant. If he comes here and says, nah, I'm not doing that, we're going to be like, we got to watch this guy. He's on fraud watch already. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. We want the best for this club, and they're not doing the best right now. We are 14th place in the Premier League and 21st in the Europa.
Atrocious.
These are numbers and stats.
Just remember real quick, Casey. We're only, what, 5 points, 6 points away from top four?
Yeah.
So, like, we're not that far out of it with a new manager.
It's only Halloween, guys.
All right. On that note, I want to thank this panel of Sean, Ronaldo, Jeremy, Bandito, Mike, Mikey, and Logan. My boy Cheese in the studio to join us. I know there's a lot of Reds, but I just want to get to hear a lot of opinions. And that's how we do it. This has been another one of those Casual Reds Show. Everybody have a good evening. Be safe on Halloween. Cheer for the Reds tomorrow against Leicester City and up the fucking Reds. Have a good evening, gentlemen. Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers.
On LA Talk Radio.